Good morning. Welcome. My name's Ryan Sperling. I'm one of the elders here. Mr. Jake asked me to preach this morning, and I am not a preacher. You guys know that. I am more of a teacher, so I'm excited about it, but my prayer is that you don't hear or see me as much as you hear and see the Lord working through me, and we're blessed as we go forward. So we're going to start off. I'm going to ask you a question. Can we know God's will? Sometimes we feel like we got a good handle on it. Sometimes we're like, well, I don't know about that. So we're going to jump into this and take a look at what we can know and what we can't know. Because a lot of times at the beginning of the new year, we're looking at our life, we're taking inventory, and we're saying, okay, am I doing God's will? And that's what we want to explore. And we want to have a fresh start with moving forward with God's will as we go into the new year. So these are questions that I have asked myself. And so you're going to basically get a look in on some of the lessons that God has taught me. It may apply to you, it may not, but maybe you've asked some of these questions. I can still remember 33 years ago asking, who do I marry? Fortunately, God led me in the right direction. Has anybody ever asked that? Right? When you were there, if you didn't, I'm sorry. There's one of those questions that is like, okay, what's God's will here? Next question, should I take a new job? Jeremy just had a new career. He's known for 6 months that his job was ending, and he was telling me this morning that he wasn't even stressed about it. He made the choice to trust God, and God blessed him, and he's going to have 0 days of unemployment, and he's rolling into his new job. Yeah, that's a blessing. Have you ever asked that question? Should I take that new job? Should I take this job? When I retired from my last job, I had a few different options, and my wife and I went through this process that was just so growing to us because God didn't let me know his will right away. Matter of fact, we prayed for, I would say, probably a couple months, and we walked, because that's one of the ways we process together. We walked and talked about it and prayed and explored all the options. And when we finally got to where I had to make the decision, I still didn't feel like I knew what God's will was. So I said, okay, I'm going to step in faith because I haven't heard not to go this way. And we took a step, and the Lord stopped us, both of us, and said, no, that's not the way. Now, that was such a faith builder to me to know that if I commit my way to the Lord, he will make straight my paths. And he will make course adjustments if you step the wrong direction or miss. And that's a beautiful sense of security to know that God has your back like that. So I've asked this question. Maybe you have as well. Next question, should I enter the business deal, this one or that one? Anybody ever asked that one? Okay, these are big questions. Next question. Should we move? How's it going to affect the family? What about my friends? What about this? Lord, is this your will that we move? Should we stay here? Should we downsize? All these different things that we face in life, and we want to know, can we know God's will when we're making these decisions? Next question. Should I have a surgery? Anybody ever asked that one? Yeah, a few people. Or should I not? Should I take this treatment? Should I do that? What is the will of God? And where do I go with this? Next question, do I end this relationship or do I start a relationship? These are all questions that we have. One more question and then we'll move on. How do I spend my money? With questions like this, my question, and I've asked this, is can I know God's will? And oftentimes I am getting things out of order. And I'll get into that as we go along. I need to ask the right questions up front and see what God has revealed to me before I start going down the road of what does he want me to do in these specific things. So here's a question I've asked as well. Does God hide his will from us and make us search for it like Easter eggs? Has anybody ever felt like that? I got to search for it. Well, you know, after studying the scriptures, it's kind of like walking on the beach and looking for treasure. Sometimes there's treasure right up on top of the sand. And sometimes we got to dig for it a little bit. And then sometimes we're just not going to find it. And we have to have faith. in the God who knows, in the God who understands. So it's kind of this process of understanding what is the order and what is our role in looking for His will. So I've asked that question. So we'll go on to the next one. This is the scripture I really want to focus on today, and this is the one that blessed me so much. It's in the Old Testament, so sometimes we miss some of these scriptures. But when I was asking the question, can I know God's will, this is the scripture that came up. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever. What does that scripture say to you? Read it again on your own. And what does that say to you? To me, this is establishing that we are not God. He is. Right? That's the first important thing. We got to understand we're not God and we're not in control. It's an illusion. We have control over certain things. And there's things that He has revealed to us. And He says, look, if you want the deeper things, how are you going to get into the deeper things if you don't deal with the things that I've revealed to you that are on top of the sand? Why are you over here digging in a hole when I've got all this treasure on top of the sand that I need you to pick up and deal with? Then you can start digging for the deeper things. So it's kind of an exciting verse to me because it puts me in my place and it kind of helps me establish what my role is. And He says, deal with the things that I've revealed. So the next slide asks the question, what are the revealed things? What are the things that God has put up on the top of the sand and said, I want you to do these before I ask all those other questions? Because oftentimes people miss, and I'm right there, He's more concerned about who we are and our relationship with Him than what we do sometimes. Yet we focus so much on what we're doing that we miss the important part. And are there revealed things, and what are they? So we're going to go through a couple things. On the next slide here, it says the first thing that was revealed is creation. In Romans 1:20, it says, His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in all things that He has made, so that we are without excuse. Have you ever heard scientists go back and forth on creationists versus evolutionists and that type of thing? And even some of the evolutionists now are describing what is called intelligent design, right? They cannot deny that this world has a design to it and it has order. It's not random. I mean, if it was the way it was described to me, and I love this, is if you're walking along in the woods and you find a watch, and you go, wow, look what millions of years of squirrel poop and weather has created or has happened. No, this was designed by somebody, and it's pretty obvious, right? So even the scientists who tend more towards evolution are now stating intelligent design is kind of one of those obvious things. And we could spend all kinds of topic and time on that. My brother Damon Ernst, boy, he run with this one. Yeah, this is one of his favorite topics. If you ever want to have a lively conversation, this is a good one to have with him. So it's funny, but one of the scientists, he still refuses, even though he recognizes intelligent design, and he said creation or what we have around us indicates that there's a designer. He refuses to admit that there's a God, so he says that the aliens put us here. It's like, really? That's the best you got? Aliens put us here. So God has revealed Himself in His creation, and through history, He has had His people dig deeper into His creation to discover how it works. But you know what? In Scripture, it doesn't tell us how He made the universe. That's the secret thing. Right? We don't know exactly. We weren't there. We can make speculations, but we weren't there. But He gives us what He has revealed to us, and that's all we've got. We have to trust Him in the rest of it. The next thing that He has given us in His revelation is the Holy Bible, the Scriptures. Now, the scriptures have been, it took about 1,500 years for 40 to 44 authors, different people believe different things, to write 66 books. Now, have you ever heard somebody say, well, can I even trust the Word of God? There's so many interpretations and so many different versions. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. I do have my timer going too, so I got to make sure that I'm not going too long, because I have a tendency to talk too long. But we want to make sure that we understand that God gave us the Word. He gave us a letter. He gave us multiple letters. He gave us His will, and He said, look, this is the revealed things for you. If you want to know me, read this. If you want to understand the things that are on the top and even some of the things under the surface and what's secret and what isn't, read this. Now, I'm not saying, because some people take it the wrong way and they start worshiping the scriptures. And by golly, I have to read the New King James, or I have to read this, or I have to read that, or this. You know what? The Bible itself says that the scriptures are foolishness without the revelation of the Spirit of God. So if God is speaking to you through His Spirit and you're reading the ESV, praise God. If it's the King James, praise God. If it's the Message, praise God, because without His Spirit, His Word isn't alive. And it says the Word is alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. So we have to understand that it's not just the Scripture, but it's the Scripture, and it's the very Word of God. Now, I've heard this one thing, and it's one of those, it's an interesting analogy, but some people get so wrapped up in the Scripture, and if you really love to study the Greek and everything, I'm not slamming you, don't take me wrong, but the analogy was, okay, I just bought a new Toyota. I really like this Toyota. I haven't driven it yet, but I've grabbed the owner's manual, and I have studied the owner's manual inside and out. As a matter of fact, I had it translated back into Japanese. And I've learned the Japanese language, so I know the nuances in this owner's manual. You know what? Just drive the car. Okay, sometimes we can get stuck over here and forget to drive the car, because that's what God wants us to do. But He's revealed Himself in His Word. And if we're not reading the Word, we don't know Him. We don't know what He wants us to do. So this is a revealed thing. You have the Scripture, and that's amazing. And there are countries and places where people would love to have a copy of God's Word. They would love to, but we take it for granted here in this country because we're allowed to have it without too much persecution as of yet. Okay, so that's a revealed thing. Another revealed thing is the manifestation of the Spirit. Okay, God's miracles and the different things that He does, He reveals those. At times, they make sense to us. At other times, they don't. Guess what? What do we go back to? He's God and we're not. He gets to make that choice. So those are the revealed things. A couple different verses. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And that was off the last slide that I forgot to read it. Sorry about that. But now this one, Acts 2, the manifestation of the Spirit. Now Peter stood up and lifted his voice. And then I'm going to skip forward. And about 3,000 souls were saved that day. That takes quite a bit of guts. When they just crucified Jesus, they just did all the things that they did to Jesus. He raised from the dead. Now Peter stands up in front of all these people that did it, and he cuts them to the bone and says, it's you that crucified him. And 3,000 people were saved. Now what a lot of people don't realize, this is the same Peter that a few days earlier denied Jesus three times. How could the same guy who was a coward and denied Jesus in his time of need now stand up in front of all these people and call them out? It's called the manifestation of the Spirit. That's only through the Holy Spirit did he become a new person after Jesus had gone to the Father and sent his Spirit as a counselor and a helper. So that was an example of one of the times where he manifested his Spirit. So that question that I had posed earlier, can we really trust the Scriptures? We ready for the next slide? This is a, a, a question I've heard a lot of people ask and a lot of people cast doubt over whether we can trust the scriptures or not. Has anybody ever been there? I mean, you don't have to raise your hand, but I've been there going, what version do I read? What is the best translation? Do I have to go back to the Greek? I missed, again, the fact that the God who gave us his word through all of those different people, 40 to 44 authors over 1,500 years, and gave us 66 books and brought it together. He's the same God who created the world, created the universe. If he can create the world and the universe, can he preserve his word? Oh, yeah. We could spend a month just on whether the Bible is worthy to trust. Do you know that it's the number one selling book in the history of mankind, almost double than any other book, over 5 billion copies sold and distributed? Do you know that the best minds in history have scrutinized the scriptures? Some of the best minds in history. Let me just throw out a couple. How about Louis Pasteur? Anybody ever heard of him before? He's kind of one of those immunologists who came up with vaccinations and, you know, that type of stuff. He was a very great scientist, and he was a dedicated Christian. If you look him up, he loved the Lord, and he scrutinized the scriptures, and he said, yeah, it's worthy to follow Jesus. How about Kepler? Anybody ever heard of Kepler's law? It has to do with the rotation of the planets. Kepler was a great scientist. He loved the Lord. He looked through the scriptures. How about Isaac Newton? Anybody ever heard of that guy? Newton's laws? These not Newton's theories. These are laws, right? He's the one that dealt with momentum, inertia, and that type of thing. And one of the other ones is Francis Bacon. Maybe not quite as known. Anybody familiar with Francis Bacon? He was the one who came up with the scientific method. He was greatly responsible. So oftentimes I'll take a step back and go, wow, there's a lot of people, a lot smarter than me, that have scrutinized this and they found it to be true. Can I trust it? I'm here to tell you can trust the Word of God, because God himself is preserving and protecting it, and he himself is revealing himself to you as you seek him reading his Word. So that's one of those revealed things that we really need to pay attention to. Next slide, please. So what does the Bible reveal about God's will for us, for you, for me, and for the church? Ephesians 5:17. You guys have your Bibles with you. Please turn there if you would. In Ephesians 5:17, it says, look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So if it's telling us to understand what the will of the Lord is, does that mean that it's actually there for us to find? You bet. There are things that are revealed that are in the scripture, and it says that we have to be careful in how we walk and look and search and know what God's will is. In 1 John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked. One of my prayers almost every day is when I get in my car and I'm headed to work, I pray, Lord, I pray that I would love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I ask that in Jesus' name. And I know that's your will, so I know I have it because of the scripture. I pray, Lord, I pray that I would trust you with all of my heart and lean not on my own understanding, and all of my ways acknowledge you, and you will make straight my path. Help me not to be wise in my own eyes, but to fear you and shun evil. This will be health to my body and nourishment to my bones. And I know that that's God's will because I'm praying his scripture. And I know I have what I ask because I ask it in faith. So understanding what God's will is very important. But as we go through, remember those questions we first asked, who do I marry, all that type of stuff? There's some basic steps before we ask those questions. Those are the ones that sometimes we have to dig for. Next slide, please. First things are first. God has given us his word. He's preserved it through the years, and he's given us his spirit to help us to understand his word and to obey it. You know, you can't obey it on your own. Anybody here that tries to obey God's word on your own, swing and a miss. Swing and a miss. You're out of there. You're not going to do it without the Spirit. I'm just here to tell you. Religion is empty. Without a personal relationship with Jesus, without his Spirit helping you, you cannot do it. I guarantee it. And even with the Spirit helping us, because we're in the flesh, sometimes we fall on our face. But we get back up, right? So I ask, why would he reveal things not specifically stated in Scripture if I am ignoring the things that he has specifically stated in Scripture? You guys understand what I'm saying? Why would he reveal the more complicated things if he has all these things right there and he says, pay attention to this, do this, and I'm ignoring it? That's a good spot for an amen. Let me try that again. Are you guys with me here? You got interaction here. I feed off your energy here. There you go. If God has revealed things and I've ignored it, why would he reveal the hidden things if I've ignored the revealed things? Do you understand what I'm saying? So a lot of times, I got to get back in and say, what are those revealed things? I got to do the work. I got to do the study. And then I'm going to obey those. And guess what? All those other questions, they'll be taken care of. As I trust, as I obey. He's more important in who you are becoming. That's what he cares about. If you make a mistake on what job you're going to take and you're looking to the Lord, guess what? He'll make it straight. Even if you screwed it up, as long as you're looking to him. So that's the things that we need to pay attention to. Order is very important. So before I get into any of that, I want you to look to the person to your right and say, hey, bro, come on. Now look to the person to your left and say, hey, bro. All right, now why do I do that? That's stupid, I know. I did that, first of all, to make sure you're awake because you stayed up late last night. Second of all, I've learned all of my stuff through acronyms. And that's how I remember things. So bro is an acronym today. And I want you to go away with saying, all right, bro, what's up? So you know the order in which the scriptures reveal to us what is important. The first one is believe. The next one is receive. The third one is obey. So let's go to believe. So that we'll go through that slide right there. Believe, receive, and obey. So that's the bro. You got it? B-R-O. So now let's go into believe. See how we're doing on time here. I don't want to keep you too late because I get excited about this stuff. God is a good God. Okay, I got a little bit of time. So the first one, what is the number one thing God wants from you? He wants you to believe, right? He wants you to believe, but beware. Even the demons believe that God is one, and they shudder, but they still don't serve him. But that's the first step, is you've got to believe. Let's take a look at John 3:16. You may have heard of that one before, I don't know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You have to believe that God loves you, that he created you, that he has a plan for your life, that he sent his one and only son to take the punishment that you deserve because of sin, and he gave you a way to have a relationship, and he tore down the walls of hostility between you and he through his son taking that punishment for you. If you don't believe that, none of the rest of the stuff matters. Because 100 years from now, you'll be in hell. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. So that's the first step. That's the very foundation of this building, is you've got to believe. Another scripture, 1 Timothy 2. Are we going into this? Jump ahead a little bit. Okay, keep going. There we go. 2 Timothy 2, First Timothy 2, sorry about that. First of all, then, I urge you that supplications and prayers, intercessions and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior. Now check this out. Who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? So that's revealed. What does God want from you? He wants you to believe. That's the first thing. Another scripture, John 3:18, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And John 1:12, but all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Wait. Is this working? Did you hear what I just said? It should be like the Seahawks just scored a touchdown there. There's something you understand, right? I want to see everybody, let's do a little exercise here. I want you to act like the Seahawks just won the Super Bowl when I hit that spot. Right? Wait for it. It says, but to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, okay, when I say it, you're going to, Super Bowl won, right? He gave the right to become children of God. Yeah! Woo! We miss that sometimes. I mean, 100 years from now, is it going to matter if the Seahawks won? But is it going to matter whether you were called a child of God? Oh, yeah. That's kind of one of them important things. Okay? And we gotta really embrace that. We've been given. It's amazing that he gave us an opportunity to spend eternity with him. I hear people say, you're so narrow-minded. The Christian beliefs are narrow-minded. It's not up to us. The fact that he gave us a way and he delivered it in the scripture to tell us how to get to him and how to have eternal life is fantastic. We don't get to say, hey, yeah, you can get there any way you want. All roads lead to the same path. No, they don't, because you're not God. In 100 years from now, see how that works out for you. No, he gets to say, because he's the one who did it. We just have to look it up, figure it out, and move on. So what was the first thing of the bro? Believe. All right, you're on track. Now let's go into the next one. Oh, keep going. How did we go? There you go. Now receive. Your actions must follow your belief. This is validation. This is a hard one for a lot of people who are hyper love and hyper grace. Do you know that it is by grace we have been saved through faith, right? You understand that. But in that same verse, Ephesians 2, it says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. What do you mean? Works and faith are in the same scripture? Yes, they are. Now, you don't get saved through works. That doesn't get you there. How did we already went over it in the believe and receive, right? That's what gets you there. But works are a result of. Okay? There's a scripture. I might as well go into it now because it just fits. It's Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 3:18. For we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory. And this comes from the Lord. So what that scripture means is that we, who with unveiled faces behold the Lord's glory, is what one version says. When we behold God, we reflect his glory and he changes us. We cannot stay the same if we're saved. We will change. Let me give you an analogy. This is the way my brain works. If I go out, not obviously in Western Washington in the winter, but if I go down to Arizona right now, and I go in the presence of the sun, S-U-N, not S-O-N, and I expose myself with unveiled faces, and I behold the sun, what happens? I'm going to get burned or tan, depending on my nationality and my skin melanin content and all that good stuff, and whether I've been going to fake and bake before I went there, whatever it is. But I am now, when I come back to Western Washington, everybody's going to go, huh, you've been in the sun. Why? Because it's obvious. When you go in front of the Son of God and you expose yourself and you spend time there, you're going to reflect Him. Religion will never create that. It's only a personal relationship with Jesus that allows you to do that. Expose yourself to the Word of God. Expose yourself to fellowship. Expose yourself to prayer, and God will change you. And that's an exciting thing to me. So where are we at? Okay, relationship, not religion. Next, James 2, 18 through 22. But some will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. If you're following a set of rules trying to impress God, swing and a miss. You're not going to impress God. Guess what? Look around. Better sometimes look in the mirror. We're not very impressive. Right? He chose the foolish things of the world. The foolish things of the world. Not very great, not very small, all those other things to manifest His glory. We're not going to impress God. What impresses Him is when we humble ourselves before Him and declare our desperate desire and need to have Him lead us in this life that He's given us. And that when we give Him the opportunity to glorify Himself through us in everything that we do, that's what impresses Him. Next one. He wants to walk with you every day. Next slide. Okay. Obey. This is important. These are those revealed things, right? If you're not obeying some of the basic things, again, why is He going to reveal to you the deeper things? Right? So we've got to obey. Now, we can't obey. We've already established this on our own without His Spirit, so we have to every day come and ask for His help. I love the analogy. I'm going to go over it real quickly. Hopefully, I won't go too long with it, but years back, we had some teaching, I'm not remembering his name, but from a sister church down in Oregon, who he talked about when he was a kid. His uncle had been off in the military for many years, and he was a 14, 15-year-old, he and his brothers, and his uncle wanted to get to know them. So he came back, and this was years ago, and he was staying with them, excuse me, and he said, I think it was nickels or quarters in my pocket. And he says to his nephew, 14 years old, every time you want a quarter or a nickel, whatever it was, you come to me and ask me for the nickel and I'll give it to you. He's like, cool, sweet. So he goes, I'm going to check this out. Can I have a nickel? And he gives him a nickel and he walks away. Yes. And he goes back about 5 minutes later. Can I have a nickel? And he keeps doing this, and he goes, you know what? Let's just make this easier on all of us. Why don't you just give me all the nickels in your pocket, because you know I'm going to ask for them all. And he says, no, I won't give them to you all at once, because I want you to come back to me every time you want a nickel, because I want to learn to get to know you, and I want you to get to know me. If God gave us everything we needed and wanted, would we need Him? He's more interested in the relationship than anything else. He desires us so much that He sent His only Son to die for us. And that's awesome. And it's not because of our merits. It's because He initiates it. And that's exciting. So let's see here. Keep His commandments. 1 John 2:3. This is a hard one for some people. And by this we know that we have come to know Him, if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not keep His commandments, is a liar. He really beats around a bush there, John does. Not very direct. He says, and the truth is not in Him, but whoever keeps His word in Him, truly the love of God is perfected. So you have an obligation to obey some of those revealed things. The next thing that he has revealed to us is that we are to love. Let's take a look at Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So, there's one of those big, big revealed things. How are we doing with love? We could spend the rest of our stinking life learning how to obey that commandment. Because it's hard. Because we are very selfish, very self-centered, and we're interested in what we want and not what other people want and need. There's one of those real easy, on top of the sand, I don't even have to dig for it, and am I pursuing that? If I'm pursuing that, God will take care of the other things. So that's just one of them. Another thing that he desires, next slide, tell your story. You've heard of the Great Commission? That's one of those things, the Great Commission. Guess what? This is one of those revealed things. And it says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. How are we doing on that one? That's a little bit harder to go out there and tell people my story and what Jesus has done in my life and how he's changed me so that they can see his glory and to admit that I am imperfect and that I fail and that God's grace is what sustains me. That's hard to do. It takes humility. We might look bad in somebody else's eyes because in America, we don't need no Savior. We're independent. We got it all figured out. It matters what I want, not what is right. It's about my rights, not what is right. It's a pretty desperate situation. But we have to admit, guess what? I don't know. Guess what? I needed a Savior. I need a Savior every single day. I am weak and afflicted, and without Him, I don't want to face this life because He is my life. That is a very vulnerable position to be in, but that's one of the things that is revealed that we need to be doing, that are His will, that is His will, is that we actually go out and tell our story. Next slide. I'm going to get just a couple more of those things, and the rest of it, it's up to you to go back and dig, right? We're not going to spoon feed you. You got to go back and get some of these things, and I would challenge you to write down, whether you have a journal or something like that, what is God's will for me this year? And make a list of things that he reveals to you through his scripture, through prayer, and through fellowship with other Christians. Because that's the way he talks to us, is those ways. So make a list and then pay attention to it as you go through the year and see if it doesn't challenge you. So here's some other things that he's revealed to us. Micah chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. So next slide, or keep going there. There you go. Have you heard of this one? It says, actually in verse 8, I'll just jump to verse 8. He says, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Have you heard this one? But to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your Lord. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. That's revealed. How are we doing there? I could spend the rest of my life working just on those three and not be looking at, if that's all that God gave me, I would be blessed. If he didn't reveal all the other things, I would be blessed. Next one, have you ever heard of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Right? Well, I love this scripture because it tells me what the fear of the Lord is. If it's the beginning of wisdom, what is it? Well, this is the verse that I love to look at, and it says, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride, and arrogance. How are we doing there? Oh, I hate it in somebody else. I can recognize it in somebody else. But when that mirror gets flipped back to me, oh, no, I'm not prideful. Yeah, you are. Yes, I am. So what is the fear? Because if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what is the fear? I just told you. Are you paying attention? Oh, I tricked you, didn't I? The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil, pride, and arrogance. And the way of evil and perverted speech I hate is the rest of the verse. There's one of those things. Lord, I pray that you would change this in me, and I'm going to expose this to you. I'm going to admit it. I'm going to confess my sins to others and say, you know what? I deal with pride in this area. Can you pray for me? Can you help me to remember that I got to work through this? Because we all have to deal with that. Another one. Next. There you go. Let him change you. And this was the verse I referred to earlier, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Get into his presence, expose yourself to him, spend time there, and you will walk away changed. So I'm going to be asking you in the future this year, how's your spiritual tan? How's your spiritual tan? How much time have you been spending in that light? There's so many analogies that go right across there. Next slide, please. Now, there are questions that come up that aren't revealed. Anybody, those ones I asked earlier, right? It doesn't say, Ryan Sperling, you shall marry Colleen King. It doesn't say that in Scripture. So how do I find that out? It's not quite so obvious. It's not on top of the sand. How do I find that out? Well, he gives us some scripture for that. And that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifices. So what's most important? To become saved, to believe, receive, and obey. Present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world. We know that that's important to him. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that then you can test what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. So if it's more difficult, how do I figure out what his will is? How do I do it? According to the scripture. I have to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, but first I have to offer my body as a living sacrifice. Then I be transformed, and then I can test and approve what his will is. So it tells me a method when it's not real obvious, how to figure out what his will is. And then next one, as we talked about before, God is first concerned who you are, is concerned with who you are as a person, and then you submit your way to him. Psalms 37, 4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Commit your way to him and trust him, and he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as light and your justice as noonday. Those are promises for all of us. If we delight ourselves in God, if we commit our way to God, he will make straight your path. Even if you make the wrong decisions, he will fix it because you are at his feet submitting yourself to him. And we know that that is God's will because he revealed that to us. So while I'm searching for the other, I'm going to do this. Submit my way to God. And if I don't know the answer, sometimes it's a T, sometimes it's a Y. Maybe sometimes God will bless both. Maybe God says, no, go this way, not that way. Life's decisions aren't always the same, and sometimes it's really hard to figure out what he wants. So this gives us an opportunity to figure out how to do that. So next one, God speaks to us through... Okay, yeah. That was what we already went. How does he speak to us? We talked about that. He speaks to us through what? The revealed word of God, sometimes through creation. He also speaks to us through his Spirit, and he speaks to us through fellowship with other Christians. You know that when two or more of you are gathered, God is in the midst, because God if that person is a Christian, he dwells in that person too, and you get to interact with Christ. That's a cool thing. That's pretty amazing that you get to sit almost face to face with Christ operating through another person. And that's called his church. And he gives us each gift so that we strengthen one another. And not all of us have the same gifts. So we should never be jealous of somebody else's gift. We should be thankful for and searching for what our contribution to the church is. Church is not a spectator sport. Look to the person on your right and say, it's not a spectator sport. Tell them. Okay, it's a sport where you're on the field. Nobody's on the bench. You're in the game. Amen. We don't have to worry about being picked last. Some of us carry that around. Oh, did I say us? Sorry. And he speaks to us through these things. The one thing you have to be careful of, I remember hearing about a person who had, she claimed to be a Christian, and she said that God was leading her to do something. Well, if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it wasn't God that was leading you. Because those things always agree. Okay? So don't get crazy. Check it with the Word of God to see if it is God speaking to you. All right, let's move on. I got to wrap this up. So what was the acronym I started with? Believe. You already get there. Your B is for believe. It's bro. Believe, receive, and obey. And how do we wrap this all up? The last slide here. What should I do now that I know, first of all, God's will is, and he's revealed it, that I should believe, receive, and obey. Then, if I need to dig deeper, I can. But what should I do now? What do I want you to take away? What's the big idea? Number one, read the Word of God. You got to get in his presence. You got to see who he is. And read the Old Testament too, because that reveals who God is. He exposes himself and gets you to understand him. Now you can hear his voice. When you recognize him because you've read him a lot or read about him, you recognize whether it's God or not. It's kind of like anybody work in a bank. How do they recognize counterfeit money? Because they handle real money. And if you handle real money every day and a counterfeit comes, you go, oh, that ain't real. Guess what? If you're handling God's word every day, you can recognize whether something's God or not. Because you handle the real thing all the time. So make sure that you're reading. Then you spend time in prayer. God will speak to you that way. And then the last one, we fellowship with and study God's word with brothers and sisters. And that's where our home groups and that type of thing comes in. Not just up here, but it blesses us because Christ speaks through other people. And sometimes a lesson that he has for somebody else is a lesson that he has for us. Okay, so we'll have the worship team come up, and we're going to wrap up the service with communion, but we're going to start off with a song. Thank you so much for listening. We'll wrap it up here. I am at the end. And let's pray real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you for an opportunity to look into your face today. I thank you for your direction. I pray that you would inspire us to seek you more, to read your word more, Lord, to spend more time in prayer and to spend more time in fellowship so that we reflect your glory and that we are changed, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anybody in here who's been doing the religion thing and really hasn't come to know you or they're not sure, Lord, that their heart would be opened. And as we come back up later on, we'll give them an opportunity to confess that they believe and want to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.